right. Well, we're going to be looking about, Lynn talked about friendship. We're going to talk about friendship this morning. And I hope you have some good friends. But this morning, I want you to kind of think about two things when it comes to friendship that hopefully we're going to see in Proverbs and God's Word is who do I look for in a friend? What does a good friend look like? We have a lot of friendships in life, and it's more than just your friend count. It's really who's there for you. And what is a good friend? What do we look for in friendship? So I want you to be thinking about that. What does a good friend look like? So you can be looking for good friendships. But more importantly, how can you be a good friend? Because a lot of times we're like, man, I wish I had good friends. But we're not willing to be good friends. Okay, so what to look for in a friend and how to be a good friend. Whenever I think about friendship, I think about, Toy Story song, Randy Newman, "You Got a Friend in Me," right? And I was like, man, there's a Toy Story 5 coming out. I can't believe it. Like, oh my goodness. How many Toy Stories are that? But I love that. "You got a friend in me." I also think of Samwise, Frodo's best friend, who's faithful friend. When Frodo tells him, I'm going to Mordor and I'm going alone. And Sam says, of course you are. And I'm coming with you, right? Like, we need friends like that. Of course you are, and I'm coming with you. Do you have a friend like that? And what a friend we have in Jesus, the ultimate example of a friend, right? Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. That means, like, we need him because we're sinners, but that Jesus is there for us. Like, Jesus is there for us in every single way we need him, right? And most of all, we needed a Savior. And so Jesus was the kind of friend that was willing to die. Remember, Jesus says, a good friend is willing to die for his friends, right? That's the ultimate example of a friend. And if you have no friends, but you have Jesus, you have the best friend of all. This morning, we're going to be in Proverbs. We're going to look at a few other verses in the Old Testament, New Testament, but mainly in Proverbs, just seeing what does a good friend look like? What does God have to say about friendship? We've been going through the book of Proverbs, just studying, what does it mean to walk in wisdom? And first and foremost, walking in wisdom really means walking closely with God, right? That close relationship with God, it starts and ends with walking closely with God, rightly humbling yourself before him, letting him lead you and letting his word guide you. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And so these first nine chapters have really been this, hey, this is a call to wisdom. You want wisdom. And it starts with rightly relating to God, fearing him above all. And so as we get to the rest of the book, instead of just doing verse by verse, what we're going to do is look at themes because it jumps around and it touches a number of themes. And so, again, a lot of these Proverbs are written by Solomon. The bulk of it is. But there's another section in Proverbs called the Sayings of the Wise. These anonymous wise givers of wisdom. There's also a section that's by a man named Agur and then King Lemuel. And so we're going to look at what these people have to say, really what God says through them about how to walk in wisdom. Okay? And so this morning, the theme's going to be friendship. And it's interesting, God has so much wisdom for all of life, and he talks a lot about relationships in Proverbs. And so this morning, as we talk about friendship, again, how can I look for a good friend, and how can I be a good friend? And the first thing we're going to see is in Proverbs 26, I love this, Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" And the first point, and so we're going to have 9 points, so we're going to fly through these, okay? The first point is good friends are hard to find, right? And I love that proverb. It's a reminder. Many man proclaims his own steadfast love, right? How many people would say, are you a good friend? You're like, yeah, I'm very faithful and loving, right? And that word there for that is really the word often talked about God. It's the Hebrew word hesed, which means loyal love. It's often translated loving kindness. Many of us would say, yeah, we love like God loves. We're faithful. We're loyal. We are there in the thick and the thin. But then it reminds us, oh, yeah? A faithful man, though, who can find? The point there is, like, they are far and few between. I kind of think about it like Where's Waldo, right? Does anybody remember those? I loved those as a kid. Like, there's this drawing, and there's a bunch of different pictures, and all these different drawings of people, and somewhere in that is Waldo, okay? But there's, like, thousands of pictures, and you're, like, looking at all the faces trying to find him, and he's often identified, you know, by his hat or his shirt, and it's like, man, where is he? Where is Waldo? And I think the point in that is, like, where is someone who is really faithful, like, really loyal? And the point is, in that rhetorical question, is they are very rare, okay? So here's the point. Like, if you have one of those, like, someone who is loyal, who's there through the thick and the thin, like, there when you need them, there when you really, really are at your wit's end, and you know you can rely on them. And I kind of think about this kind of friend as the one who you can call up at 2 a.m., right? And it's a little bit different now because, like, our phones will automatically go to do not disturb. And so you might have to call a couple times. But, like, the person that you know, like, when you're really in need, right? They're there for you. They'll pick up. They'll come help you change the tire. Like, they are the ones who are there for you. And if you have one of those first, don't take them for granted. I think so many times we take our friends for granted. And Proverbs reminds us, like, they are rare. And if you have one of these friends, you have a treasure. And so do they know that? I think it's so important. Like, man, thank them. Say, hey, I don't take you for granted. I am very, very thankful for your friendship. I'm thankful that you are there for me. Second, like, hold on to them. Like, don't let them go, right? Hold on to them and then really be thinking about, like, okay, how can I reciprocate? You know, so much of life is, like, what can you do for me? Man, am I one of those? Am I one of those, like, a faithful man who can find? Am I faithful, first, in my relationship with God, but in my relationships with my wife, my kids, and my friends? Are you that way? Are there any friendships where, like, your faithfulness has been wavering? A faithful man who can find? Because the reality is, here's the second point, we all need good friends, okay? And this is from Ecclesiastes, which is also part of the wisdom section in the Bible. It's also written by Solomon, and it gives us another good, just really reminder about the need for friendships, okay? Because you might be thinking, okay, friendship. Man, I am a loner. I don't need friends. I don't want friends. I like doing things alone. You like your space, don't like opening up, sharing, relying on others. Well, here's the thing. God has made us relational, and we're better for having one another. We see that in the nuclear family. We see that in the body of Christ, which is called a family. We're made to need each other. And Ecclesiastes reminds us, says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him. It says, woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Man, he's saying, like, you need other people. If you fall, who's going to lift you up? Do you have people to pick you up? He keeps on going in verse 11. If two lie together, they keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, Solomon uses example after example to show, like, we need each other. Do you have others who are with you in the fight, right? He's like, you can beat someone up alone, right? Our enemy is often referred to, in Peter, it says that he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Who does the lion go after? The one that's alone. Do you have others who are with you in the fight? When you fall down, do you have others that help keep you strong? And you might be thinking, like, man, I've been hurt. And I'm checked out. No, this friendship thing, I've given myself to a friendship. I've opened up. I've been honest. And then, boom, it was used against me. I was humiliated. They shared something about me. And so hurtful. And you're like, no, thanks. From now on, I'm keeping everything surface level. Okay? Well, that's good and all. But again, God made us relational. And you are missing out on, again, a treasure. You're missing out on something so powerful, so meaningful, something that's going to make you stronger. So here's what I would say. First, like, I'm sorry, and here's the reality. In a sinful and broken world, we as relational beings are not good at relationships. We hurt each other and we sin against each other, and that is part of life here on earth. But would you give it a chance? Give someone another chance, because you will be better for it. We weren't meant to walk alone. And so maybe you've been like walking that path alone. Who could walk with you? Is there someone here in the body, someone that you know, someone, a friend that you would say, like, you know what? I'm going to give them a chance. And again, like, don't jump in and say, okay, here's all my life secrets, okay? Like, let it build over time. Friendships are meant to develop. And so like, God, who would you lead me to? First pray to him. Say, God, I want to give friendship another chance. Would you provide that for me? In the meantime, would you be that friend that sticks closer than a brother? Would you be that friend of sinners, because I need you? And would you give me good, godly friends? Because I need that. And then be wise in who you choose. Start to open up over time as they prove themselves faithful, but give them a chance. Choose your friends wisely, but remember, we weren't meant to walk alone. Hebrews 10 reminds us, even in the body of Christ, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting them to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I love that passage there, because it's like, all the more. And what it means like is today, like the day is nearer than it once was, right? How much more do we need that? And so what he's saying is like, we need each other in the body of Christ. We need to support, encourage, stir one another up to love and good works. Do you have others that are doing that for you? Are you doing that for others? We need good friends. Because here's the reality. We become like our friends, okay? We've used this proverb a few times. Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. It goes both ways, but what it's saying is you become like those who you spend time with, right? That's just reality. That's just how things work, is over time, who you associate with, who you really spend the most time with, is really going to shape and mold who you become. And again, it goes in a good way. Like, if you hang out with a lot of wise people, it's going to rub off. But if you're the bulk of your friendships, the ones that you really invest most in, are people that lead you away from Christ, guess what? It's going to happen in your life. You're going to slowly start to fade, slowly start to drift. And over time, you're going to become like your friends. And so, I think about it like this. Take like maybe the three closest friends that you have, okay? And just take like the sum and the average of who they are. That's a good picture of probably where you are going to be in 5 years. Again, it's not the only factor in this, but the reality is they really have a big impact on who we are and who we become. And you can be on fire for the Lord, but if your closest friends are people who don't love the Lord, who are apathetic, lackadaisical, or maybe even hate the Lord, if you really like make those your closest friendships, in 5 years, you're going to slowly drift towards where they are. And so I really want you to think, like, who are your closest friends? Because we become like our friends. In the New Testament, Paul says it like this. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Like, you're like, man, I love the Lord, but if I have bad company and I really let them shape and mold me, I'm going to become like them. Bad company ruins or corrupts good morals. And so ask yourself, do your friends pull you closer to Christ, or do they pull you away from Christ? And I think in this point, like, one of those things that I need to think about and pray about is, like, my closest friends, what do I need to do? There might be a friendship that you're like, yeah, I know, they drift me, they pull me, and when I walk away, I'm less excited about Christ. My moral compass is a little bit off. Each time I'm pulled a little bit further. And it might be needing to have a conversation with them and say, like, just like, man, I love you and I love our friendship, but I don't like this about you. And that's hard to say, right? It's hard to say, I don't like this. And you can say, because I love you and I love Christ and I want to follow hard after him. And I want the best for you. And this is important to me. So, like, this can't be part of our friendship. Like, this can't be part. If it is, then our friendship can't be as close as it once was. And maybe it's that hard conversation, and it might get to the point where, like, we can't be friends anymore. Like, is there anyone that's just constantly pulling you away from Christ? Maybe it's a negative quality, right? There's another Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. He says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Okay? And so, like, the first part is like, yeah, of course, I wouldn't want to be a friend with an angry person. We've talked about it. Like, we usually get beat up by them. But he gives us another point in verse 25, lest you learn his ways. Right? Like, if you hang out with an angry person over time, I bet you're going to become an angry person. And so maybe that quality you see in that person is anger. Or maybe, like, you have someone that they just swear all the time, and words that you never even thought of suddenly start coming into your mind. Or maybe it's like drinking to excess. Like, they drink too much. And when you are with them, you're like tempted that way. Maybe there's like some moral compass, like some way where they like just are not in alignment with God's word. And when you're with them, you are given towards that. You learn their ways. Maybe they're like obsessed with money and you find yourself obsessed with money. Maybe it's something else completely different. Like, man, they just treat others poorly. They don't treat people with respect. They're selfish and prideful. And I find myself when I'm around them becoming selfish and prideful. Like, is there anybody that's pulling you away from Christ, changing who you are? You're shaped by your friendships, and what friendships might need to change, maybe a hard conversation, or maybe even the end of a friendship, because we become like our friends. Next thing I see in Proverbs, a couple of different places, is that we are good for having friends. Like, friendships are really good and important for us. I love Proverbs 27:9. It says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Like, the sweetness, like, it just, like, lifts you up. Like, it's so good for your soul. And first thing, like, about, like, friends being good for us is, like, good counsel. Like, sometimes, do you have one of those friends, like, you're, like, have a problem, like, I don't know what to do. You've been praying about it. You've been searching the word, and you just don't have peace. And you, like, call your friend up and say, hey, can we get together for coffee? You sit down, you like share your, just spill your guts. They talk a little bit. You guys pray. You guys talk about the word. And suddenly, leaving the coffee shop, you have peace. You have clarity because you got good counsel from a person that pointed you to the word. Their advice was grounded in prayer, the word. Man, isn't that awesome? Like, we all need good friends that we can go to get good counsel. He says, sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Like, I want to be that kind of friend. Do you want to be that kind of friend? That others can go to and they know you're going to point them to the word. You're going to give them good, wise counsel because you're walking close to God. We need to be those people, but we all need people like that. And I want to give us a couple warnings with that, though. First, like, we need good counselors and our friends, but don't replace the counselor with your friend as a counselor, okay? And what I mean by that is Jesus refers to in the New Testament in John as the Holy Spirit being our counselor, okay? It's the word parakletos, which means someone who comes alongside. It might be translated helper, comforter, oftentimes counselor. Like someone, like when you really need them, Jesus says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to come to your side. And sometimes we can be tempted to short-circuit the counselor by just going to our friend as a counselor, right? And so what I mean by that is like, man, I have a problem. Instead of me first going to God, I was like, man, I'll just go get an answer from my friend. okay? Like, don't do that. Don't short-circuit your relationship with God, and first go to the counselor. Like, go to his word. Go, like, Holy Spirit, would you please speak to me? Would you give me wisdom from your word? Like, seek him first, and then go to your friend. And oftentimes what God is going to do is he's going to use your friend to get to you. But don't, like, short-circuit and just be like, okay, I'm going to go to him. But don't let them be your Holy Spirit, okay? Second warning is, like, don't become reliant upon a single voice, okay? I've seen this where, like, a person will just go to the same person over and over, and they get advice from one person. I love what Proverbs 24:6 says. It says, by wise guidance you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory, okay? And so oftentimes what we need to do is, like, man, I went to this person, they gave me this counsel. Like, let's make sure it matches up with God's word first and foremost. But let me ask somebody else, especially if it's a big decision, like, go to someone else and you love and trust and know and say, what should I do here? And see if it matches up. Don't just, like, only go to one person over and over. And then a third kind of warning, find a good listener, okay? Sometimes we can go to a friend and like, we start to share, and then, like, we're barely even sharing, and then they already have the answer, right? Or maybe we've done that. Have you ever done that? Like, we love to share the answer, but sometimes we don't even listen for the real question. And one sign of a good counselor and a friend is they are a good listener. Man, that is so rare, okay? Like, they listen, and they actually know what you're talking about, know what you're really getting to, and then they give their answer. But man, we need good friends who will give us good counsel. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Another way they make us better is they sharpen us, okay? I love this, and you, like, so many men's ministries have been built on this verse. It's just a great reminder. It says, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Like, we're better for it. Like, we need friends there by our side to sharpen us, right? And the point is there, like, you've probably had this, like, super sharp knife. You bought it. It's awesome. And you, like, cuts a tomato, and it's just, like, doesn't even push down. It just slices it. And you do it for a week, and you do it for a month. And what happens over time, a year later, 2 years later, after you continue to use that knife? Like, even the sharpest knives grow dull, don't they? Right? And that's a lot like us, okay? If we're left alone and don't have friends to challenge, to encourage and rebuke, to really speak into our lives, the natural way I am is I'm going to coast. I'm going to get comfortable. And just like that knife that over time is going to become dull. And we need others in our lives to sharpen us, because the reality is there's areas in my life that I need others to speak into. There's dullness that I need someone to sharpen. Do you have a friend that's sharpening you right now? Like, when's the last time someone has said something hard that really, really rubbed you the wrong way, but actually afterwards, and you took it, made you sharper? Like, we need friends who are willing to do that. And really the big reason we don't is because sharpening hurts, doesn't it, right? Like, sharpening hurts. Like, when you're rubbing two pieces of metal together, like, friction, heat comes about, and tearing of metal, right? It hurts to be made sharp. But we have to know that we're better for it, okay? So do you have a friend that maybe in the last month has said something hard, and it hurt, but it was done in love, it was done for your good, and you've become sharper for it? You need a friend like that. Like, if you can't think of anyone who's done that for you this year, I have a feeling that you're probably not perfect, okay? You're probably not perfect. I'm not perfect, and none of us are going to be perfect this side of heaven. And if we don't have friends that let us know that we're not perfect, then what does it say? Next thing I see here is good friends are willing to say the hard things. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And here's the reality. If your friends are always affirming you, always saying nice things to you, always kissing you, they're probably not what we would say is a good friend, right? What is someone who always says something nice? in the end, really, it's my enemy. Like, we want friends that are always going to, like, give us exactly what we want, say exactly what we want. They never challenge us. But in the end, really, they prove to be our enemies. The true friend is the one who is willing to wound, say the hard things. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Have you had to do that? Man, it's so hard. I hate it. I hate hurting my friends. I hate saying something hard. But when I've done it because I know they need it, and I know that I've looked at that log in my own eye, I've removed it, and I love them so deeply, I can't not say it, right? Like, think about God as the ultimate lover of our souls. Does God shoot straight with us? Is he, like, beat around the bush? No, he says, this is what's going on. I love you, and this is a cancer in your life, and we have to remove it. And so we need friends like that. You need to be a friend like that. So do you have a friend who's willing to say the hard thing? This one right here, it like flies completely in the face of current worldly wisdom, right? The train of thought right now is you need only people around you that will affirm you, and anyone who is going to say something you don't want to hear is toxic, right? This is like the cut-off culture. Like, the world is just like saying, hey, anybody who is toxic, and what I mean by toxic, what they would define it as, someone who says something I don't want to hear, right? Someone who says that I am messed up, something that is wrong with me. Anyone like that, cut them off. Someone who gives you a wound, get rid of them. And it is, like, so tragic. Like, families are being torn apart right now because someone says, oh, you hurt me, you're out of my life. Friendships are ruined, they're gone for life because you hurt me, you are cut off from me. Marriages are being cut off, like, you're toxic, you don't love me because you wounded me. Man, that is like so damaging to us, because I need people who will say hard things to me. You need people who will say hard things to you. What we need to do is humble ourselves. We've seen that already. Last chapter, chapter 9, it says, 7 through 9, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Reprove is a strong word. It means like to wound them, right? To say something they don't want to hear. But man, if you do that to a wise man, it says he will love you. Why would he love you? Because he's better for being sharpened. He knows your heart and knows why you did it. Reprove a wise man, it says, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. We need people who are willing to do that. We need to be willing to do that. Maybe you can be thinking right now, is like, man, I've been avoiding that. Like, I know I need to say something to my friend. But man, I know it's going to hurt, and it might, like, end the friendship. Okay, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a true friend, or do you want to be an enemy? It says, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. But it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, here's a really important check, okay? If you know, like, man, I need to go do this. You need to check your heart. Like, remember what Jesus said. Remove that log. Because oftentimes we have that speck, and, like, we want to go get it. But we forget completely about all that we need to be convicted about. So first, like, pray. Say, like, God, is there anything in me that I'm not seeing? Am I doing it for the right reason? Am I doing it out of a heart of love? And Holy Spirit, would you please give me the right words to say? Would you give me the right opportunity? And please give me an opportunity this week. And then I love this reminder in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 is this awesome passage of really what the body of Christ should look like, okay? This loving body that really grows itself up in love. And so what does it mean? Like, and I think this really relates to like this godly relationship that we have with one another, speaking the truth in love. He says, Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who's the head, Jesus Christ. Okay, so what it looks like, and I think this looks like in the body and just really in friendships, is we need to speak the truth in love. And you might probably have a lot of friends that do one or two of, or one of those, right? They speak a lot of love, but they don't speak much truth, right? They love you, you know how much they love you, but they aren't willing to say the hard things. They don't speak the truth. And you might have a friend who, like, they always tell you the truth, but you know it's not out of love, right? Be the kind of friend that's willing to say the hard things, willing to wound, that you would speak the truth, but always ask God and really seek, how can I do this in love? Be willing to speak the truth in love. Next thing I see in Proverbs, in a couple different passages, good friends are there for us when we need them. Like we talked about at the beginning, like that friend who's there, you can count on them. And I love this. It says, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Like, are you that kind of friend? Like, it loves at all times. And I think what we want to be is fair-weather friends. Like, when it's convenient, yeah. He says a friend loves at all times. There's a lot of times that are bad times, inconvenient times, times when they're needy, not, times when they aren't at their best. Do you love at all times? A good friend loves at all times. And I love that it talks about a brother, kind of that close relationship. He's born for adversity. What I get out of that is like he shows up even more. Like those are the real moments that the brother shows up. The real close friend is going to be really shown by the hardest moments, not the easiest. Do you show up in the hardest moments? Do you have a friend that shows up when you really are in desperate need? Because we've seen the opposite, right? Proverbs 25:19 says, trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Okay? Like, there's these treacherous people. There's people that they say they're our friends, but in times of trouble, they don't prove themselves faithful. And he compares it to a bad tooth. If you've had a bad tooth, you know what that feels like, right? Man, when you really need them, they proved their treachery by not showing up. And it hurt more than a bad tooth. Like it left a deep ache because you needed them. And in times of trouble, they weren't there. Or a foot that slips, right? When you really needed that stability, it slipped and you fell. Like you needed them to steady you. And it hurt so bad that in times of trouble, they weren't there for you. Man, may we be those faithful friends that show up even more in times of trouble, that we are born for adversity. Now that can be taken to an extreme, and just a warning here is we need to balance life, okay? Because sometimes we'll have friends and they are so needy, right? And we want to be there, like we want to be that friend that loves at all times, okay? And so they need you a lot, and you need to really pray and balance, like, God, how can I love them, because they really need me, but how can I balance that with all the different duties you've given me, okay? And kind of think about it like this. Maybe like you're a husband and a father, and you have some important relationships at home, right? And you have a friend that's always calling, and you drop everything for that friend. And you want to be there all the time. They're going through a hard time, and so you have some duties at home, and you say, well, man, sorry, I can't do this. I need to go be there for my friend. And it might be okay for once, and then it comes the next night, the next night, the next night. Like, God has called you to love your wife and your children as well, and you got to somehow balance that. And sometimes, like, friends, like, if they're suicidal, like, you got to be there for them. But like really pray through that, because you don't want to be there so much for them that you really lack and don't balance and don't do the things that you do need to do. Like, what are the different relationships that God's called you to? And make sure that you are that friend that loves all times, but that you also love your wife at all times. You love your kids at all times. You love your other friends at all times. Like, there's times where you really need to step out and be there. And just like, okay, this is going to be a hit. We're going to have to suffer for a little bit. But make sure that you balance it all. Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, right? that reminder, like, don't forsake, but you got to be there for them. Like, it's so important to be there. And then it goes on, and it's interesting. It says, do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. And I read that, like, man, what is he getting at? Like, don't forsake your friend or your father's friend. Like, we need to be there for our friends. Like, we don't forsake them. But why does he say, don't go to your brother? I think what he's saying here, it says, better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. It's like, who's available, okay? Like, it'd be great to go to your brother, but if he's way far away and your friend is there, your neighbor is there, go to him. And I think that the point there is you need to be available to those who need you, and you need to go to those who are available. Like, be available, be ready, but have boundaries. And maybe you're like someone who like struggles with boundaries. You don't have any boundaries, okay? That's an extreme. But maybe like you have an impenetrable fortress of boundaries. Like, find that balance of really being there, being available when you can. But you can't be their savior. You can't be their God. They have a savior. They have a God. You need to be a tool used by their savior and their God. But don't try to be their savior. So a friend loves at all times. Really related to that, a good friend loves deeply. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Like, we need friends that love deeply. We need relationships that are deep. And in life, we have a lot of friendships, okay? A lot of surface friendships. And we can't be this close, what he describes in Proverbs 18:24, with every single person in our life, right? There's only 24/7, right? But you need a few of those. You need a couple friends that are going to stick closer than a brother. Do you have a friendship like that? That's like that deep relationship. I see it in Jesus Christ. You know, he had like, he ministered to so many people, right? Like, he healed so many diseases, but he also had disciples that would follow him, right? He had those friendships that he invested in. But of men, all those disciples, he had 12 that he deeply invested in. And even among those 12, like, there were like this inner circle, right? We see like Peter, Andrew, and John, like at the biggest moments, like Jesus took them aside. And what we see in there, like, he had these brothers that stick close, or friends that stick closer than a brother. You like see it in the highest highs, right? The transfiguration, who's there? Those three. You see it at the lowest of the lows, the Garden of Gethsemane. He brings the disciples to pray, and then he takes those three and says, come with me. Do you have friends like that? We need like deep, deep friendships. And you're not going to have them with everybody, but you need to have it with a few. And so be willing to invest in a few deep friendships, those who will stick closer to than a brother. We budget our money, right? We also need to budget our time. How do you budget your friendships? Like, there's some that you really need to budget. Like, in your week's time budget, where is it? Do you have any for your closest friends? Maybe it's someone who you get to coffee with like once a week or once every other week to challenge each other, to catch up, to pray. Like, budget for that. If you want a close friend, you got to budget for it. Budget for deep friendships, the ones who stick closer than a brother. All right, two more real quick here. Good friendships are mutually beneficial. It's interesting, like, there's three different proverbs that say a very similar thing, and it's interesting. It says, Proverbs 14:20, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. And then 19:4, it says, wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. And then Proverbs 19:6-7, it says, many seek the favor of a generous man. Everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. Okay? And it's an interesting point he's making. It's like, if you're rich, you're going to have a lot of friends. And we know that they're probably only there because you're rich, right? But really, relationships are like that. Like, think about your friendships. Like, why are you friends with the people you're friends with? Probably because they have something in the relationship that they have to offer, right? And a good friendship is where you have something to offer to them, right? And what he says with the poor person is, like, no one wants to be friends with him. Why? Because he never has anything to offer anyone. And it goes beyond just money. But, like, if you are always in a relationship and you are always needy, taking, no one wants to be friends with that, right? Just like he said, he says, like, all a poor man's brothers hate him. Why do they hate him? Because he's always asking for money. It says, how much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. And so I think that the reality there is, like, good friendships, like, you get something from them, but they also get something from you. And there's times when, like, you're going to be more needy, but are you going to be able to reciprocate? When they need you, are you going to be there for them? And I want you to think, like, in your friendships, like, are you always the one who's needy? Like, do you find that your friends are always running from you, never answering the phone, never available? Maybe, like verse 7, all a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? Maybe it's one of those gut checks and say, like, why is that? Like, why is everybody running from me? You probably have a friend who, like, they call and like, you haven't heard from them for months, but every single time they call, you know they're going to be asking for something. Like, before you even answer the phone, you're like, I know what they're calling for. They need something. Like, I don't want to be that kind of friend. Like, there are times when I call and I need something, but I want to be there when they need something. Like, I want to be rich in their lives just as they are rich in my life. Make sure it's mutually beneficial. And the last thing here is good friends are willing to make things right. Proverbs 18:19 is really kind of a sad proverb. It says, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and a quarreling is like the bars of a castle. So, like, a brother offended, like someone who you are so close to and yet you've offended, says he's more unyielding than a strong city. A strong city, like, it's like you've had that, like, where you've hurt somebody. Like, you are so close, like, you are, like, best friends, and maybe you said something careless, maybe you said something intentionally, maybe you were neglectful, maybe you were hurtful, like, you offended them, and maybe it wasn't your fault, maybe it was, but, like, it's damaged the relationship so much. And I think what this proverb is saying is, like, it is hard to make things right when you've hurt somebody. Like, especially when it's a close relationship, it's hard. It's going to be hard. And we could just, like, accept that and say, like, okay, that really stinks. But what I said there is good friends are willing to make things right. Because God calls us to, like, if I've offended somebody, if I've really hurt them, even if they're like that strong city, then it's going to be really, really hard. Because I love them so much, because I want to make things right so much, because Jesus has done everything to make things right with me, that I'm going to be willing to make things right with them any way I can. Colossians 3:12-14 is so valuable in relationships. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so today, maybe you're like living right in the middle of Proverbs 18:19. You've offended them. They hate you. They've said they'd never want anything to do with you. And maybe they're going to be that strong city, and they're going to be that impenetrable wall. I want you to pray and ask, what can I do to make things right? I've offended them. I've hurt them. I've sinned against them. I need to go to them. You know, it's interesting. Maybe you're on the other side. Maybe someone has hurt you. And you've cut them off. You've hated them because they've hurt you so deeply. And you've vowed, I'm never going to do anything with them again. And maybe Colossians 3 hits hard. It says, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you. How has God forgiven me? He's forgiven me way more than I deserve, way more than I could ever do. There's nothing I could ever do to make him love me, but he still forgave me. And so have they done more against you than you've done against Jesus? Is their sin greater than your sin against him? Paul says, no, we need to forgive just like Jesus forgave us. You must also forgive. And so again, maybe like it's a relationship and they've hurt you time and time. You've gone to them time and time again. And it's not going to be a good relationship to carry forward. That's okay. But you got to forgive them. And maybe you need to tell them, hey, I forgive you. And you've hurt me and this isn't safe, but I forgive you. And you got to do it from the heart. And maybe it's giving them another chance. Maybe it's like the disciples when they ask, how many times do we need to forgive our brothers? 70 times 7. And maybe it's giving them another chance. Again, there's prayer and wisdom in this. But Jesus gives it on both sides. He says, if you're offering your gift in the at the altar, there, remember your brother has something against you, right? Like you're going and offering your gift and you're like, man, I've hurt somebody. I've offended them. I've sinned against them. He says, leave your gift there before the altar. Go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And then maybe you're on the other side. Someone sinned against you. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. He's like, go make things right. He says, between you and him alone, if he listens, you've gained your brother. Like, man, we give up on relationships, friendships, brotherhood so deeply that we miss out because we're not willing to forgive. Jesus goes on and gives some other steps if that doesn't work, and maybe it's not going to work. I can't promise you that if you go and say, hey, you've hurt me, this is wrong, but I forgive you anyways, they might not care. They might just say, hey, I didn't do anything. They might say, okay, and then go and do it again. I can't promise what they're going to do, but that idea in Romans 12 says, among yourselves, try to be at peace with all men. And so with me and that brother, how can I make peace with them? And if it develops back into a friendship, awesome, but at the very least, I need to be the friend. I need to forgive and release them. Good friends are willing to make things right. You know, we all need good friends. They help us grow. They help point us to Christ. They're there for our good. They're willing to say the hard things. They're there when we need them. They love deeply and are willing to forgive. Man, I need to find a friend like that. Do you have friends like that? Maybe you need to pray like, God, my friends are pretty lousy. God, would you please be that friend, and then would you please provide that friend? And each one of us today on those different points, maybe we can go home and pray, God, help me to be that kind of friend. Maybe you realize in friendships, I've been the one who's always needy, never given. I haven't loved at all times. I haven't been the friend that makes things right. I haven't been the friend that loves deeply. God, will you change me? Will you make me more like that? Let's pray. God, as we just look at friendship and what you have to say about being a friend and finding a friend, we know that you are our greatest friend. You've made us for relationship. And God, I pray that first and foremost, our relationship, our friendship with you would be made right. God, if there's anyone today who doesn't know you, doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, know that they can be forgiven from their sins and made right with you. God, I pray today that you would touch their heart. God, remind them that the price has been paid, that Jesus died the death that we all deserve. He paid the price. He shed his blood for our sins so that we could be forgiven. God, I thank you so much for making things right with us when we were your enemies, it says. God, I pray that each one of us would know that closeness that we can have with you. God, if there's anyone who doesn't know it, please, would you convict them of their sin, remind them of their Savior, and help them to trust in you with all their heart. And then God, may we be friends like that, that are there in the thick and thin, that show up, that are born for adversity. At the times of greatest needs, we show up the best. Help us to be those loyal friends who show loving kindness to those who need. I pray this in Jesus' name.